ladies and gentlemen, to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. And if you're hearing this message, it's Thanksgiving. And at this moment, I'm probably at home. Let's see, 3 o'clock. Maybe getting started on my second course. I don't know. Thanksgiving dinner is always a little bit early. But I wanted to pre-record this special message, giving a special thanks to you, the InfoWars audience, for supporting us and keeping us on air. And let you know what lies ahead for this special broadcast. I consider Thanksgiving sort of the most American holiday, more so than even July 4th, because while that represents America, the country, America, the nation, really goes on over 100 years before 1776, when the first British colonizers, the settlers, or perhaps in a more accurate way to phrase it, the adventurers and geniuses who settled on this dark and mysterious land, but found that they had some help along the way from the Native Americans. It really is a beautiful thing to celebrate. And in case people don't know, there are in fact two eyewitness accounts of the first Thanksgiving. The first is from a man named Edward Winslow, and he wrote a letter about what exactly happened. He said, quote, our harvest being gotten in, our governor sent 4 men on fowling so that we might, after a special manner, rejoice together after we had gathered the fruits of our labors. They 4 in one day killed as much fowl as, with a little help besides, served the company almost a week, at which time, amongst other recreations, we exercised our arms, many of the Indians coming among us, and among the rest, their greatest king at Massasoit, with some 90 men, whom for 3 days we entertained and feasted. And they went out and killed 5 deer, which they brought to the plantation and bestowed upon our governor and upon the captain and others. And although it was not always so plentiful as it was at this time with us, yet by the goodness of God, we are so far from want that we often wish you partakers of our plenty. And then there was another one from a man named William Bradford, who said, quote, they began now to gather in the small harvest they had and to fit up their houses and dwellings against winter, being all well recovered in health and strength and had all things in good plenty. Besides waterfowl, there was a great store of wild turkeys, of which they took many, many besides venison, etc., which made many afterwards write so largely of their plenty here to their friends in England. And people don't know this, actually. Some of the Indian chiefs that were around for the first Thanksgiving had actually been to England before and come back, and it was actually a very friendly relationship we had with them. And we get the tradition, of course, of eating turkey, which they had in abundance, apparently, back then. And it's just a reminder of the real bounty that we've been blessed with as Americans and sort of the obligation that comes with that to make the most of it and to, the way I'd phrase it is turn it towards God's will. And there's another thing going around right now that we don't have time to get into, but there's a rise in paganism happening right now. And so I'd like anybody who thinks that the civilization that we're fighting for is founded on anything other than Christianity, go back and look at the charter to Sir Walter Raleigh in 1584, where it was in no uncertain terms laid out that what the British crown was sponsoring was an advance of Christendom against the forces of barbarism and savagery. And the references to Christian culture, Christian princes, and the Christian God are innumerable. And so as we all say thanks to the people that came before us to build this great country, I in particular want to thank you for going to thealexjonesstore.com and helping us to fight for the spirit that motivated the people who first brought European culture, customs, and the Christian God to this continent. So I hope everybody has a good Thanksgiving. We've put together a collection of some of our best interviews from the year, as well as a very special little segment that you'll see coming up where you'll be instructed on how to properly deep fry a turkey from my grandfather, Wild Bill Smith. So stay tuned for that. Stay tuned for some great conversations. Eat too much turkey, and we'll see you back here live on Monday. In the meantime, please do go to thealexjonesstore.com to keep us on the air and in the fight. We got a lot of good reasons for you to do so, including our very cool Christmas merchandise. Here's a jolly old Saint Nick, Santa's choice, America first. Do your shopping for the Info Warrior in your life at thealexjonesstore.com.
Well, barring a miracle, InfoWars, the website, the studio, will be shut down somewhere in or around January 1st, 2026. But regardless, the InfoWar lives on. But InfoWarsStore.com, the legendary site that literally funded the InfoWar because of your great support with so many great products, has gotten two final shipments in of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil. Both are the highest quality, the best out there. They're fan favorites. And right now, they're 40% off until they sell out. So this is probably, I said about 98% chance, your last chance to get Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. But don't worry, the InfoWar will continue with the Alex Jones Network. It will continue with all the other work we're doing. But right now, if you want to get these legendary products, the last time you can, get them exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Again, they're both 40% off for a limited time. So take action now, InfoWarsStore.com.
Watching the War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Annihilate.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room, InfoWars.com, band.video. You can follow me on X at Harrison H. Smith. Follow us at InfoWars, at War Room Show, at AJN Live, at Real Alex Jones. Make sure you're following us because things are progressing. Things are moving. They're taking my computer away. Do you know that? Just give you a hint as to how close we really are to the end of all things here at InfoWars. They're taking my computer away. The laptop I use for work to gather news has to be imaged for some reason. So again, I know people are probably sick of hearing about it, but it is happening. Things are progressing behind the scenes, piece by piece. Little bits of the operation are being boxed away for sale. And it's a bummer. It is. But the good news is we already have the flight plan for the next launch. We already have the facilities being built. We will continue operation into the future as long as humanly possible, as long as we get your support and we give you a lot of easy ways to do it. But I'm not plugging here as much as I am bragging. I'd like to pat myself on the back here a little bit and share this with you. So I think you'll all appreciate this as well. And I have to say, this may be, it's certainly in the top 10 messages I've ever gotten in my life. I can't tell you how satisfied and gratified this made me getting this message. This guy that I met, you know, maybe I only first met him like 2 months ago or so. We had a mutual friend, went out to lunch or whatever, and he sends me this message yesterday. He says, "My brother and his wife voted Democrat, and I told him about you after we met. He's been watching your videos and literally told me because of it, they are now far right." They are now far right, folks. That's a 2 month turnaround. That's a 2 month turnaround, folks. We're changing minds. We're breaking free. We're igniting brush fires of liberty in the hearts of men. We're doing it, folks. We're doing it. And I asked him multiple. I was like, "Is this true, dude? Did that really happen?" He's like, "Yeah." He's like, "They were pretty hardcore, you know, liberal, anti-Trump people. It only took a few months of watching our videos for them to completely flip sides." I had a lot of people on X being like, "Far right, you mean American," like saying all this. It's like, well, we're pretty far right. I think if you want to label us anything, I'm perfectly fine being labeled far right. If you think it's bad to be labeled far right, I think that's your own biases coming into play. Far right just means far correct. It means far goodness. I guess it depends on what the spectrum is you're talking about when it comes to liberty versus authoritarian. I'm on the far libertarian side, but regardless, it's nice. It's nice to know that we're still having an effect. It is so gratifying to know that I'm not just preaching to the choir, that new people are tuning in and resonating with what's being said, because not a lot of other people are making these arguments like we make them. The false dichotomy of left versus right, of Republican versus Democrat, can be accurate. I mean, it can, you know, it can align certain things at certain times. But it drives a lot of people away to see the sort of establishment conservatives claim to speak for everybody. When in reality, what we need is just pure Americana, pure Americanism, pure Christianity, the pure InfoWars Alex Jones mindset, where you care about all this stuff. And again, it's a little bit of just patting ourselves on the back. And a reminder that all of this stuff that InfoWars has talked about forever is now widely known and being pushed back on. But it's sort of an eclectic mix of topics. It's health food and keeping poisons out of the food and water, and it's about, you know, the reality about how climate change is a scam and true environmentalism. We actually want to save nature, what God gave us, but not have the concern for that be weaponized into convincing us to commit civilizational suicide. That's certainly happening. It's about the lowering of testosterone. And so it can seem like all like this wide spectrum, this variety of different and sometimes completely unrelated topics. But in reality, when you truly understand these things, when you really look at it at a bird's eye view, when you aren't just bombarded with the facts, but when you actually have time to absorb them, consider them, think about them, it's actually fairly obvious what's going on here. And as crazy as it sounds, as extreme as it seems to some people, we are fighting against a global cult of anti-human psychopaths that are genuinely trying with all of their might and all of their wealth and all of their sophisticated psychological operations to enslave humanity and turn us into essentially farm animals. And everything aligns with that. And everything should be looked at with a filter of liberty versus control. And when you look at things and try to understand the geopolitical conflicts, the political conflicts, the immigration, all of this stuff, look at it through the dichotomy of control or freedom. And when you do that, it becomes very obvious why things are done a certain way. Even things that might seem contradictory. The illegal immigration process. It might seem contradictory to say that's about controlling the population, because technically it's like, well, if you want to control the population, wouldn't you have borders? And borders are about control. But no, you release the control of borders. You allow the free flow of human beings because you want to replace a population with ingrained, embedded, practically genetic instinct to rebel, instinct to refuse to bend to unlawful or unwarranted demands. You replace them with religious extremists who treat dictates from their religious authorities like the voice of God and will do what they're told when they're told, and who feel and have been brainwashed and told themselves and been told by the authorities that they are in a war and that they're fighting and that anything is justified because victory is necessary. So it's all about control. So when you look at everything, just think about it in terms of control, because that's how they think about it. That's how they judge what is good and bad, is how easy is it for them to control. And they have a lot of people out there convinced of their mindset that when you see something that is not controlled, it might scare you. When you see speech that isn't permitted, you think that's bad. That's a trick. That's a big trick. And so it's amazing to know that people are waking up to this, realizing this, and coming around to it. And hopefully understanding the same process that I think a lot of us went through, that it's those good instincts that might make you want to be a Democrat or a socialist because you resonate with the seemingly beneficent message of these ideologies. But you have to understand that that's your good impulse being distorted, weaponized, perverted, and used against you. So it's not that that impulse is bad. It's that it's used and weaponized and distorted by bad people to do bad things. With that, I want to go to the opposite. I want to show a video here from one of the top maybe two political streamers on Twitch, Asmongold. You might know about him because he played the Alex Jones video game and loved it and was on our commercials for a while. He's extremely popular and only getting more popular and only getting more based, I guess you could say. And he lays out this list of like what he, I guess it's what he would do if he was emperor, what he would do if he was the king, what his program for reclaiming America would be. I just think it's an interesting series of ideas. Some are pretty good. Some are, yeah, maybe a little out there. But it's like it's almost worth it to watch this just because of how refreshing it is to see somebody who's not really even in politics. I mean, he's a video game streamer. He just started talking about politics, as I understand it. He didn't go to school for this. He's not hired by a political party to make points for them. He just sort of is saying what he's thinking. And whether or not you agree with these particular, you know, ideas, these prescriptions for what ails us, it's like, what are any ideas that anybody puts forward to solve any of the problems that we're dealing with? So I wanted to go to this video because it's sort of the Gordian knot solution to the problems that we're in. Is you need somebody with a mindset like Asmongold to be like, we're just not putting up with this crap anymore. Clip 20, let's watch.
The point that I was making is that, like, for example, deporting illegals. I would want to use the military to deport every illegal alien in the country. That's what I would want to do. That's one example. Another example is that I would want to bring back insane asylums. I would want to bring back insane asylums and put crazy people in insane asylums. That's another really big one. And I would reduce foreign aid by about 80%. Maybe not 100%. The goal would be 100%, but the beginning would be 80%. I would completely remove any illegals from the census as well. I would even take people that were residents of the country. If they were not net positive taxpayers and they were not performing an essential job, I'd deport them too. Let me think. Oh, I'd add two additional tax brackets for people that are wealthy, for people that are making above $5 and $10 million a year. That way you have to pay more money in taxes. And let's see, besides that, I would double the amount of the money that we put on policing. I would do that instantly. And you don't perform an essential job? Well, no, I don't, but I'm also a citizen. So I wouldn't be deported because I'm not a resident. Like, that's why I said resident, not citizen. Learn to listen. Harsher punishment. Oh, yeah. Yeah. If you steal from a store, instant mandatory prison time. Even if you stole a paintbrush. Yep. You go to prison. The reason why, it's pretty simple. I don't want to live in a world where people steal. I don't want to live in a world where there's violence, hostility, aggression, and turmoil. And I don't think that most people do. So just put them in jail. Simple. I'll do one more. I would make it to where every prisoner had an extended sentence by about 30 to 50%, and they could work in prison to reduce their sentence that got increased back down to what it was if they wanted to work in prison. And I would do mandatory prison labor, and I would punish the people that wouldn't do it. I would put every single one of them to work. That's right. Community service? Yep, absolutely. And so, yeah, that's what I would do. Would you be president? Would you be authoritarian? I mean, I think people would say that I was, but I would actually be the most pro-freedom president ever. But I view the freedom of the people that are the 98 to 95% of the population that are being terrorized by the 2 to 5% of the population that are bad actors.
I like that point that he made at the end. You know, again, agree with his ideas or not. The point is, it's like, what are the things being done? what is happening. And a lot of comments underneath that video were like, yeah, well, the only problem is the, you know, baked lobbying system and the industries that would fight you and the prison industrial complex that makes a lot of money off the way things are now. And it's like, yeah, I know. I know that there are a lot of entrenched moneyed interest that don't want to see things change, that do want to see exploitation continue, failure and corruption expand, criminals run on the street for some reason because they hate you. That's why we have a government that's supposed to represent us. The idea is that all of that power and all of that money and all of the influence and all of the persuasion all is secondary to the people. And if the people aren't being served by the politicians, we take their power away. The power that they have comes from us. That's how it's supposed to be. Now, it's gone off the rails quite a bit. We obviously need some sort of holistic change, some sort of overhaul of the system to get back on track, because it is burdened by a legacy of just endless patchwork repairs, right? Like the Jason's ship, the ship of Theseus, the American government, the laws that govern us sort of been patched over so many times. We're not even this. It's not even the same thing anymore. After reading the comments, people unable to distinguish between resident and citizen. I must also include my previous policy of removing the right to vote from 85% of the population at a minimum. Yeah. Oh man. Whew, I feel that one. I feel that one real good. That is one of those things. Yeah. Maybe you should have to. Define that can be it. You want to vote? Tell me the distinction between a resident and a citizen. It's kind of like Starship Troopers, actually, which also presented an interesting theoretical overhaul of the United States government into a form to deal with the out of control crime that the author imagined in the future and that we are living with now. And it's also interesting that, you know, jail reform is just such an obviously overwhelming priority that we need to deal with, because not only are there too many criminals out on the street, the jails are overloaded at the same time. How does that happen? And how are we stuck with this legacy system that is so inadequate for what it ostensibly is supposed to do? You know, penitentiary comes with the word penitent. It's like an Amish idea, where like if an Amish person misbehaved, you're supposed to like put them in time out for a little while so they can think about what they've done, feel bad about it, and decide to do better the next time. And it's like, we're still doing that with people with 35 felonies? Like, what? You know, I think if you were to just look at the American penal system from an alien point of view, it would just be like, what do you guys do? What do you do? So you've got people out here hurting innocent people, and your solution is to just put them in a room with a bunch of other criminals for like a little while and then just let them back out, and you think that's going to help somehow? Like, what? How would that even theoretically work? It doesn't make any sense. I like they said, you know, put them to work. Then we'd at least benefit. Then at least we wouldn't be spending a crap ton of money to house people to do nothing until we can let them out so they can commit more crime. Like, put them to work. Why not? We at least benefit. What I would like to see is almost a parallel prison system built alongside our prison system, where you have open air prisons that are towns, that are little towns, as a midway point. So if you're really well behaved in the federal penitentiary that we have now, then you get to go be a shopkeeper in a pretend town, and you get to practice being in a civilized society for 2 years. You get to practice dealing with other people, making purchases, making agreements, going to movie theaters. You get to experience the little frustrations that we all experience in life, and you prove that you can handle them, that you're not going to fly off the handle and stab somebody And then maybe we can have a way to determine if people are truly rehabilitated and able to return to the real world. That would be my idea. But the point is, nobody's even thinking of other ideas. No one's even coming up with solutions to these problems that we've been plagued with for decade upon decade upon decade. Every once in a while, we do some minor patch repair that works for a little bit, and then people like forget why it was implemented in the first place, right? In the 90s, crime was worse than it is today, and then there was a big crime bill, and things were instituted like stop and frisk and, you know, the three strike rule, which is a great rule, and we should probably bring back. Again, I think if you fail a third time to resist being a criminal, I think you've had enough opportunities, truly. I don't know what we do with you at that point, but you certainly aren't capable of living in society. So whether it's criminal justice reform or immigration or any of these things, what we're doing now is not sufficient. It's not adequate. And it's often because it's holdovers from rules and laws and determinations made in a world that doesn't exist anymore. I'd say this is the case with just about everything. We need a new digital bill of rights. We absolutely need to treat immigration not like it has been treated in the past. You realize how delusional it is, how insane it is to treat, you know, it's like if you have processes that you're supposed to follow, you're a department store and you have processes you're supposed to follow for shoplifters. But if a gang of 50 teenagers storms in your front door and starts ripping everything off the shelves and running away with it, you can't follow that shoplifter process anymore. You have to come up with a new process. The shoplifter process, you're supposed to take down their name and information, call the police, log what they did. And it's like, well, now you've got 50 teenagers grabbing everything they can hold and running out of the store, screaming and laughing and filming it on TikTok. You can't do the thing that you did do when it was individual. So like with immigration, it's almost like we're treating it as if it's the 70s and immigration's like, you know, this issue that we kind of deal with over here. No, we were flooded with 40 million people over 4 years. That's an invasion. It needs to be treated like an invasion. It's like we're trying to deal with these new, novel, unprecedented issues without changing the tactics that we use to deal with issues. The old ways are not sufficient. They're not adequate. They're counterproductive at this point. And it's the ultimate frustration that at least some of the things could be solved with someone like Asmongold, just a normal person with basic logic and a desire to live in a safe community, just putting their foot down and saying, we're not putting up with this anymore. Because it's like everything that we have to experience, all of these issues are all just people being unwilling to do what's necessary. Because at the end of the day, the worst thing that can happen from America looking after our own interests and the American people being the priority over any and everybody else is that all of those other people who aren't us are mad at us. So what? They're mad at us anyway. What is the risk? What is the danger? And who is going to pick up the crown flying in the gutter, just waiting for somebody to save us?
I'm making this announcement on Friday, November 21st, 2025. And this is the biggest sale in the history of our sponsor, Bigly, thealexjonesstore.com, with the very best supplements, widest selection of Patriot apparel. Right now, until next Friday, you can get any of the incredible supplements, ultramethylene blue, the Irish sea moss, the Shilajit, the bovine colostrum, and they're all the best, the turmeric, the list goes on and on, where you get one bottle of whatever supplement you want, and then you can pick any other supplement you want. So you can buy a supplement that costs way less than one of the other supplements and get that even more expensive, more, quote, high-end product because it has more ingredients free with it. This is a massive deal, and every day we're running flash sales that change each day on top of it. We're doing this because we know a lot of you have been on the fence about the products. You've heard the rave reviews. We know if you use them, you're going to love them. You'll be a repeat customer. So some of these are a lost leader. We're also doing it for the fans that have supported us so much, so you get a better deal. But bottom line, we're fundraising right now. The bad guys are very close to shutting down InfoWars. They have the state receiver in. They're setting up an auction sometime in the next month. I'll imagine it'll be like the federal auction where they don't let good guys try to bid. I'm not accusing of anything wrong yet, but we're just going to see what happens. Let's just say this. I don't have any faith that good guys will keep us on the air and be allowed to bid. So I expect we'll be shut down by the new year. But that's okay because we've got the Auctions Network. We've got all these new systems thanks to your support that have been set up and even more being built. But that's why the support is so critical at theauctionstore.com, because it doesn't just fund InfoWars as we fight to stay on the air, but the new infrastructure. So it is critical to take action. Again, I don't own theauctionstore.com. I don't own the Auctions Network. Bigly does. And so I'm just going to work there, be the news director, and we're going to continue on. And they can attack me till the cows come home, but we are going to continue to fight. The only variable of myself and my crew staying in the fight, because we'll never give up, never back down, never give in, we could give out, is you supporting us while you get great products at the same time. So now's the time to take action. You see the crescendo of the forces of good versus evil just rising against each other, as it always does historically. We're in this major time of change, the fourth turning. The Democrats are calling for open civil war, saying Trump's a tyrant, telling the military not to follow any of his orders. This is a time we need to stay on the air. Whether it's InfoWars, the Alex Jones Network, you know the coordinates. You share them everywhere. You take the clips, you take the articles, you take the video links, and that will change the world. But to keep us on air, we need the money, so we sell you great products that really work. So it's a symbiotic relationship. Just like a good restaurant wants to have good service, high quality food at reasonable prices, so you want to come back. There's a line out the door. The restaurant with nobody going in it shuts down because they have crappy service. You just got to come into our restaurant. You just got to come in and try the Ultra Methylene Blue or the CMOS or the other products and see how great it is. And that's why we're saying buy one bottle, get any other bottle you want free, and other huge discounts right now at thealexjonesstore.com. This is the most critical moment in InfoWars 28 years. These are great products, so take action now. Action is the essence of victory. That's why we've come so far together. You're the reason the InfoWars has existed. It will continue on despite a URL, because I am the InfoWar. You are the InfoWar. We are the InfoWar. We are telling the truth and taking on their lies and winning. And yeah, they're striking back. And boy, we're in the thick of a big war here. But you can see they're losing. To paraphrase Patton, if you're tired and you're hungry, you've been fighting for days, just know this. The other guy you're fighting is even more tired and more hungry. So punch and fight that much harder in the InfoWar. Take action now. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And God bless you all.
Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Here's a full quote from Trump yesterday. It's called seditious behavior at the highest level. Each one of these traitors to our country should be arrested and put on trial. Their words cannot be allowed to stand. We won't have a country anymore. An example must be set. President DJT. Okay, who should we tell, Trump? Who do you want us to tell? Who should we let know? Why are you saying this? You are the one who is in charge of this. Thank you for telling us. You're the one who's supposed to do this. What are we doing here? Each one of these people should be arrested and put on trial. Well, who's in charge of that? Oh, it's you? Oh, okay. So what are we doing? What is this? And this is in response to another tweet saying, "Hang them, George Washington would." What are we supposed to say? You know, the way I was thinking about it, and this is kind of an extreme example, but there's not a lot of speech that's illegal. There's not a lot of speech that you can say that, you know, gets you thrown in prison for 20 years. But what if these Democrat lawmakers were making a video, and one by one, they all held up an image of explicit child pornography. And then Trump went, that's illegal. That's 20 years in prison. And then all the Democrats were going, oh, Mike, he called to throw his opponents in prison for 20 years. And it's like, yeah, because of the law they broke. What are you talking about? Did you see the breaking of the law? Did you see the way they distributed child pornography? That's illegal. It's on the books. You can't do that. Calling for the lawful punishment as dictated by the law books, by the U.S. code. How is that objectionable? You broke the law. It was like, it's like they didn't even mean to set a trap for Trump, but they did. But he fell into it anyway. It's like they're tying a noose around their own necks, and Trump swooped in to put his head through first. They gave you gift wrapped with a bow on top the perfect reason to punish them in any way. Kick them off committees, censure them, charge them with sedition. Mark Kelly, as I understand it, is still under the jurisdiction of military courts. Court-martial him. Hegseth? You have the right, the ability, and in fact the obligation to do so. So why isn't it being done? And if you're not going to do it, then don't go out and say these people should be hanged. What are you doing? Genuinely, I mean, it is beyond baffling. They make a video. The Democrat representatives make a video where they commit a felony, where they look into the camera and tell the military and the spy agencies, disobey your orders, we have your back. And one would think, one might believe that this might be something that the Republicans seize on for a victory. When your enemy delivers to you evidence that they've committed a felony, somehow, 24 hours later, we're the ones who are the bad guys. Somehow, 24 hours later, we've taken this gift, this bullseye, just perfectly packaged, beautifully presented gift of 6 or 7 Democrat representatives committing a felony on camera. And yet 24 hours later, every headline, red linked on Drudge, Trump calls for murder. Trump calls to hang his opponents. Like, we have Biden back. Can we have Biden back? Can Trump just do the Biden thing? Can Trump go lay on a beach in Delaware for a while? Because I don't understand how you messed this up so badly. I mean, talk about, you know, let's expand the metaphor we've been working with. How I keep saying, you know, Republicans are like a baseball team that refuses to do anything but bunt. They refuse to swing away. They never take a chance. And they still strike out anyway. Then I had to update that to say it's like a T-ball team who will only bunt. They can't even hit a ball that's sitting there waiting for them to be hit. This is worse. This is the Republicans walking up to the T-ball and somehow getting hit by the pitch and having to be out for the rest of the game with an injury. That's where we're at this point. They deliver victories to us and somehow we come out the losers. Trump calls for Dems to be executed. Hang them. That is the red link on Drudge. Instead of a red link saying Democrats commit sedition, face 20 years in prison for crime on camera, the headline is Trump calls to execute his enemies. This is so, it's like unbelievable. It's unbelievable how retarded Republicans are. We are losing a game that the other team didn't even show up for. Like, it doesn't even make sense. It doesn't even make sense. Oh, my God. And it's like, I don't know, Trump is trying to... All right, we'll stick with this topic for a second, but it's like, it's just an extension of everything else. It's an extension of absolutely everything else the Trump administration has failed on this time around. Let's go to clip 16 here. This is one of the Democrat representatives who's saying, whoa, 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 all we did was say illegal orders. That's all we said. And they're like, what illegal orders? And he can't answer. He's asked four different times what illegal orders he's talking about. If he thinks if he's going to go out on a limb like this, risk being charged for sedition, you'd think he'd have an answer. He doesn't have an answer because there are no illegal orders because he was calling for sedition. Okay, let's watch.
What law are you talking about that's being broken? And then you said that he's implying that he might do something that they wouldn't want to uphold or follow through with in the future. What are you talking about specifically?
Yeah. I appreciate you asking. Well, number one, the protests at Lafayette Square in the first Trump administration where he said, can't you just shoot them? Can't you just shoot them in the legs or something? That's a direct quote. And of course, the then chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
That was not a military order. That was a comment. That's not a military order.
When that's coming from the President of the United States to your generals, don't you think that's a request? That's
I'm
a question.
Asking specifically right
number,
now
number two,
what you're talking
two,
about.
Yeah, number two, he's also threatened to send the military into Chicago and other cities to, quote, go to war with those cities. Right? That is a very, very disturbing thing. Number three, he's also alluded to sending troops to polling stations, which is actually a violation of U.S. law. U.S. criminal law prohibits troops from going to polling stations. And he's alluded to that. So those are just one of many examples.
You're talking about illusions. You're not talking about actual policy. You're not talking about things that are members of our service members who we revere and respect are actually being asked to do. So when you see this video on
exactly
all over the place, when you see this video on social media, I think a lot of people scratch their heads and they say, what exactly are they talking about? Are they talking about not allowing gunboats to make it to the United States carrying drugs? No. Is that what you're talking about?
Martha, here's a novel idea. How about we actually prevent things from happening before they become a problem?
I think that's what they're trying to do.
What you're saying is we have to wait until there's a problem to respond to that problem.
No, I'm not.
Right? As a military officer, what I think is important is we train people. We give them information. We prepare people for challenges coming down the pike. That is what I did as a commander in the military. That's what I'm doing now, as we are standing by our troops. We are reminding them of their obligation.
What specific order from the commander-in-chief that we are asking our military to carry out are you objecting to? This is very, very vague. And it was so vague in this video. I don't think people could figure out what you guys were all talking about, honestly.
Martha, Donald Trump has made a series of very disturbing comments. Uh-huh.
Again, that is actually literally more proof of their sedition, okay? Because the things that he mentioned do not align with the statute I read earlier from the U.S. From the U.S. Code, 182387. Or, you know, he's like, he's talking about people shooting him in the legs. Like, it doesn't make sense. It's not even again, if he's not ordering troops to shoot POWs or fire on unarmed crowds, like if you are defending yourself against attack, it's not an unlawful order. But the things he's suggesting that would be unlawful orders aren't unlawful orders. If Trump, and again, it's like specifically denoted in the code where you are not allowed to disobey orders just because you think they might conflict with domestic law. You're not a constitutional scholar as a soldier. You're not equipped to be making decisions as to how far from the polling area you're allowed to be deployed. When you're deployed somewhere, you're supposed to go there and do it. And if it turns out to be illegal, you're not going to be in trouble. You were following orders, lawful orders. Or if they weren't lawful, it wasn't murdering innocent people, not that big of a deal. You're not going to be the one in trouble. The U.S. code is explicit about this. So if he's saying that his instruction to disobey orders has to do with, you know, soldiers themselves determining whether or not their deployment is in line with domestic U.S. law, then that is literally, as enumerated in the code, that is exactly what is meant by sedition. That is exactly what is meant by urging soldiers to disobey being illegal, is that exact thing. You are not allowed to judge for yourself as a soldier whether your orders conflict with, like, vague civilian law. Again, if it's torturing people, raping people, like, yes, okay, that is manifestly and obviously illegal. You don't have to do that. Something manifestly or obviously illegal about, you know, being deployed to an American city to put down a riot. It's actually very legal. But he's encouraging people in the statute, and any attempt to get people to disobey orders that are lawful is sedition. So that interview, he just reaffirmed that what he was doing was seditious. That he wasn't talking about orders to kill innocent people or rape prisoners. He was talking about legal orders. He was telling soldiers to refuse legal orders in a way that is directly addressed by the U.S. code and says what he did was illegal. So this interview is just more proof that what he did is absolutely 100% incontrovertibly sedition. Steve Miller went off on this. Clip number two. Watch that.
It is insurrection, plainly, directly, without question. And when you have one of the lawmakers on that video being unable to state in, as you say, lengthy cross-examination, a single so-called illegal order, it just proves the point. It's a general call for rebellion from the CIA and the armed services of the United States by Democrat lawmakers saying that you have not only the right but the duty and the obligation to defy orders of the commander-in-chief, that those who carry weapons in America's name should defy their chain of command and engage in open acts of insurrection, that the CIA, the clandestine service, which isn't even legally authorized to operate in the United States, should engage in, again, acts of rebellion and insurrection. These lawmakers should honestly resign in disgrace and never return to public office again for even daring to think, let alone to say these words and to say them proudly. But it shows what a dangerous moment we're in. We have seen the Democratic Party nurse the flames of violence and insurrection against the federal government for the last 10 months. When you see this continuous campaign of violence against ICE officers and Border Patrol agents, when you see Democrat sanctuary politicians and Democrat sanctuary governors side with the rioters, side with the assaulters over federal law enforcement, and that spills even into juries and grand juries, when you see Democrat jurors engage in nullification to let off violent attackers who are engaging in physical violence, physical assault against federal officers, this is a dangerous moment. You have a political party, an organization, the Democrat Party, and their message is that any action, no matter how unlawful, no matter how dangerous, no matter how much it threatens constitutional order, is justified if it keeps Democrat policies in effect at any cost.
Yeah, I mean, because they keep getting away with it. I don't understand. He's literally... what are we supposed to do here? What are we supposed to do? He's like listing off the number of crimes the Democrats have committed as if he's not in the White House, in the executive branch, in charge of the DOJ. Steve Miller's obviously not in charge of the DOJ, but he's got some pull, I think. Again, just what are we doing? What are we doing here? He's sitting there going, when you have, you know, they're encouraging people to attack ICE and they're letting people who do attack ICE go without any charges. And it's like, yeah, and every time you make the same outrage speech and then nothing happens and then they do it again. And now they're getting worse because obviously that's what happens. It starts with words from the extreme side, and then suddenly people towards the center are saying it. Now you have congressmen and senators calling for an insurrection, calling for disobeying orders, calling for sedition, calling for an uprising against the lawful authorities in this country. What do you think happens next if nothing is done? He says he thinks they should resign in disgrace. Well, I guess we'll wait for that then. Is that the plan? The plan is to take the Democrat Party, who is getting worse and worse and worse and more and more and more extreme, and it's to just pray that they see the light? We're banking the future of our country on a come to Jesus, Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus revelation. That's what we're banking on. We're banking on these soulless deep state monsters suddenly deciding that their own ideology is wrong and they're going to turn themselves in. Why are you telling us this? You're the ones in charge. My God, it's like, we know, we know they're all breaking all of the laws. What are we supposed to do about it? What are we doing? This is crazy. It's like, if you want us to do it, you've got to be explicit. Do you want us to go hang them? Is that, that's the message I'm getting, is the Trump administration is like showing us they are just incapable of doing it. It's like, it's becoming so egregious at this point that it's like, do we need to do this? Obviously electing you wasn't enough. Obviously winning the election in the House and the Senate on this exact topic, punishing the insurrectionists, punishing the sedition, punishing the manipulation from the deep state, from the CIA, from the FBI. Clearly that wasn't enough. What should we do? I mean, my God, it's insulting. Stephen Miller gets up there and lists out like 15 crimes that they are letting the Democrats get away with. What? I'm telling you, not just go back to the same metaphor over and over, but it's like, you ever met a bad parent who complains about the things their kids do and you want to just like grab them by the collar and be like, you are the parent. It's your fault. Punish the children when they do something wrong. It is your job. It's just crazy. It's just like, well, you know, first my son took all the toilet paper off the roll and flushed it down the toilet. The toilet was all backed up. And then he's got the hose in the house and he's spraying down the living room. And then he's doing this and then he's doing this. And it's like, okay, and what happens after he does this? Oh, nothing. He does it and I say, oh, this is bad. You shouldn't have done that. And then I clean it up for him and I give him a cookie. Like, well, this is your fault then. You are the one who has been empowered with the ability to punish unlawful behavior. What are you doing listening to us the series of unlawful behavior that you have let go unpunished? It is, again, just beyond infuriating. And it just goes to everything Trump is doing. It's like this. So he tweets out this thing about Jeffrey Epstein. He's like, I signed the Epstein release. And it's like, great, but you also open a new investigation. So obviously we're not going to actually get anything from it. And I've got a video of that, but of Pam Bondi saying, well, you know, there's this new investigation by the SDNY. So we might not be able to release all that. And it's like, okay, yeah, we know. So that's the way it works. He's still covering up for Epstein, but he doesn't want everybody distracted by Epstein, even though he's the reason everybody's distracted by it, because he wants them focused on the victories. There's a little problem with the victories. They don't matter. They don't count. They don't mean anything if we don't get the real victory, which is the Democrats being abolished as a party, which is their sedition being punished, which is their flagrant violation of the law in your face, spitting at you and mocking you on national TV on a daily basis goes utterly unpunished. You won't even remove money from their city, let alone arrest the people that are literally daring you to arrest them. Not like, oh, they're really pushing the bounds. They look in the camera and say, Trump wants to arrest me, he can try. If you don't solve that problem, nothing else matters, dude. Like, what? Who cares about all this other? Like, okay, so he's like, big, beautiful tax cut bill. Well, great. I still, you know, can't afford anything, but I understand somebody's getting their tax cut. Strong borders. That's pretty good, but, you know, the problem is already done. The damage was already done, right? I put a bulletproof vest on you. Great. Well, we're bleeding out because we were shot 10 minutes ago. No men and women's sports. Again, another victory, but, like, who cares? Transgender for everybody, ending DEI, stopping Biden's record-setting inflation, lowering prices, biggest tax and regulation cut in history, ending eight wars, rebuilding our military, knocking out Iran's nuclear capability, getting trillions of dollars invested in the USA, creating the hottest country anywhere in the world, and even delivering a huge defeat to the Democrats on the recent shutdown disaster. Well, they don't feel like it's a defeat, and actually at the very end of the shutdown, they swept the off-year elections. So I wouldn't call that a victory. In fact, most of these things I would debate whether they're real victories. What I would say is that almost none of them have a tangible effect for the vast majority of Americans, and none of them matter if you are just setting us up to deliver this wonderful economy. You're going to deliver this peaceful world into the hands of the psychopaths that spent the last 4 years throwing all of our friends in prison when they never committed a crime and charging you for crimes that they made up and pulled out of their butts and decided to invent in order to go after you. None of it matters if they're able to get back in charge and reignite the oppression and the abuse from the government that they did before you got into office. None of this matters. This is like a football team bragging about all of their stats, but they never put points on the board. It doesn't matter if you have the longest, you know, the most skilled kicker, if you never put up a field goal. It doesn't matter if you have the number one passing yards and the number one sacks and the number one forced turnovers on fourth down, if you never get in the end zone to win a game. It doesn't matter. Great, brag about it all you want. If you don't win the game, if you don't put points on the board, which in our case would be Democrats in prison, then nothing else matters. All you're doing is setting up a brilliant, lovely economy for them to destroy as they throw all of us in prison despite having never committed a crime. Because when they do commit crimes, you will not do anything but piss them off and bitch about it online. We elected you to do something. Why won't you do anything ever? God damn.
We're here, folks. I mean, this is it.
Unrestricted warfare is without bounds. That is what we are in the midst of right now, and everybody needs to understand that.
There's one variable in this fight. It's you. Do you share the articles, the videos, the reports? Do you download the free app and share it? Do you buy the products? I mean, you're crazy. Literally. Do you think I tell you bovine colostrum, great skin, great hair, great libido, so we got the best? Did I just say that? Think I'm going to sell you something that doesn't work? You think I tell you ultramethylene blue is incredible game changer? Be careful with it. It's really strong. You think I'm just saying Irish sea moss is great and does all these amazing things? No. You hear the callers. It changes their lives. My information is cutting edge because I don't want to be the liar. I want to be the guy that's right. I enjoy it. I don't lie about freedom and people and things that matter. I cannot do it. And I'm telling you, our products are kick-freaking-ass. They're the biggest sell ever at thealexshowstore.com. Buy any supplement and get any other supplement you want. That's why it's different. Normally, it's buy one, get one free, the same thing. You can buy a $20 supplement and get a $40 supplement free. These are expensive supplements. We have the best, the strongest, the turmeric, all of it. It is the best. Energize me. I am in total commitment against these people. I am waging war against the most disgusting filth ever. And all I ask for is that you empower me in this war. TheAlexShowStore.com.
This hat and sweatshirt were the perfect gift. Thanks. This is an important message from InfoWars. Stay informed, stay free.
Hey, thanks. I love my new InfoWars shirt, bro.
My new InfoWars gear keeps all the globalists and goblins away.
Black on black, murdered out shirt. Love it.
I love my new sweatshirt. And this methylene blue really rocks.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.